Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's August 5th, 2017. Let me give out the numbers here. If you want to become part of the show, we're about to start our attorney segment, license to carry attorney segment. So if you got some questions, the number here is 254-697-6633. If you want to give me an email, it's aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Go to the website at aaronsgunshop.com and go to the Facebook page. Like us on Facebook. Let's get the numbers up. Go right now on your cell phone. Boom, do it. Give us a call here, 254-697-6633. Now, what we're doing here is we're following up to a previous segment that we did on body cameras, police officers carrying body cameras and the use of cell phones by the civilian populace. And I've got some follow-up articles here that I'm going to read parts of. And to my left here, I have attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson. Ross, why don't you say hi before I get started into this?
Yeah, man. Excited to be here. You guys had a little sub for me last week. Rick Dodd came in, gave a great show on ego states. Rick Dodd's knowledgeable in that area as a trial lawyer, and feeling rejuvenated, refreshed. I wasn't laughing at you a while ago. In fact, I think I may take a page from the Beatros Chronicles on my next closing argument.
Is that right?
Got me fired up. Yeah, and I wish you'd show everybody this gun you got. Hit those grips you got. What is that? Black cherry wood with maybe some like skull. Man, it's pretty.
Let's see here. What he's showing here now. This weapon is loaded, so I have to. We're not going to play with it. We're just showing it in the camera. I don't know if you can see the grips there, but they are pretty hot. I saw them at the gun show and just had to have them.
I got to get me some of those. I like them. It's pretty sweet. But yeah, excited to be here. Hope we get some good information in.
Okay, very good. I think we are, because these are some interesting stories. So let me start off with this. We were talking about the body cams, and it basically had to do with this. It all started with the shooting in Minnesota. So I'm going to read this one article here about the Minnesota shooting shows underuse of police body cams. Police and protesters heralded the arrival of body camera as critical window into officers' everyday activities after the unrest in Ferguson, Missouri. But the killing of an Australian woman by a Minneapolis police officer over the weekend shows the technology depends on officers turning on their devices, and often they don't do so. Officer Mohammed Noor fatally shot 40-year-old Justine Damon on Saturday night while responding to an emergency call. Damon placed a report of possible sexual abuse near her house. Noor and his partner had body cameras but didn't turn them on until after the shooting. Police leaders in Minneapolis said they want to get officers to use the cameras more often. Denver and Albuquerque, New Mexico, police have been criticized for lack of body camera use. Okay, so that's one article. Keep that in mind. This article, I think, is hilarious because it's making a bold statement. It says, in Minneapolis, fake signs warn of easily startled police. Minneapolis, the fatal shooting of an Australian woman by a Minneapolis police officer has sparked the posting of at least two fake street signs warning people of easily startled officers. That's terrible, man. The Star Tribune reported, what you get it, fake police officers startled easily. That's the warning sign that they're posting up there. The official looking orange metal signs read, warning, Twin City police easily startled. The signs have a picture of an officer with a gun in each raised hand shooting in both directions. Justin Damon was unarmed when she was killed behind her home on July 15th after she called 911 to report a possible rape. The officer who shot Damon has declined to be interviewed. The other responding officer said Damon approached the officer's police cruiser shortly after he heard a loud sound. And then the last one, and then we're going to get into our attorney here, Ross Watson. It says here, police chief tightens body camera policy. I'm just going to read a part of it. Minneapolis police officers were required to have their body cameras on when they responded to calls and make traffic stops, the acting police chief announced. Following widespread criticism that two officers involved in the fatal shooting of a 9/11 caller had not activated their cameras. The stricter requirements will take effect Saturday. The acting police chief said at news conference, officers who violate them could face discipline ranging from one-day suspensions to firing, he said. Many of our offices are using their cameras a lot, as they are intended to be used, he said. But there are some officers, quite frankly, that are not using them nearly enough. And in the end of the article, it reads, Telling officers to activate their cameras when they are dispatched is consistent with Justice Department best practice guidelines, said Chuck Wexler, the executive director for the Police Executive Research Forum. Since officers don't know what they may face when they arrive at the scene, the last thing they should worry about is turning the cameras on. So with that, Ross, I read those just to get everybody up to speed, and we had talked about it a couple weeks ago about the body cameras, and I sent this to you. So what is attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson got to say about all this?
Well, we said, we talked about last time, from at least the defense complaint standpoints, how often that things happen that aren't recorded, and it just comes down to the police officer's word versus defendant's word. And you have to remember, you're going to have a judge and a prosecutor, or both backing the, or prosecutors backing the police officer up almost all the time. And you're going to have a judge in a political position that's going to feel somewhat attached to the government actors who he has to work with on a daily basis, day in and day out. And so, I mean, this is just the reality of the world. I'm not saying that judges are intentionally biased. I'm not making an attack on any kind of department, you know, or state in itself. I'm just saying the realities and practicability of trying to launch a defense without other evidence when it's just the officer's word against a defendant.
I can't argue with a bit, because I know there's things that are written as guidelines, but we know the practicality of life states that there are things that come into play that not are always followed by guidelines. The emotion aspect gets into it. The devotion aspect gets into it. So I totally know where you're coming from. Go ahead.
And a lot of people get emotional, in the argument that they don't feel like, well, people are just being difficult why they want to film. And I was trying to give some credibility that, hey, a lot of times, you know, there needs to be some other kind of independent recording going on. And oftentimes the independent recording has helped in situation, not even independent recording. Oftentimes I wouldn't have a case if the officer's in-car video were not working. And I thought it was a double negative, but if the video were not working, it would be hard for me to launch a defense. And so, but by the same token, I can't tell you how many times I've lost a case based on what the video shows. And so a lot of times these recordings are important to see the justice system.
Well, honestly, though, does it really matter? I mean, try to understand what I'm about to say. If you lose the case because the video proves it otherwise, it should be, okay, we were wrong. Shouldn't that be the accepted answer?
I don't understand exactly what your question is, but in other words, be wrong. A lot of times they don't want to admit to being wrong because they don't want to face a civil suit.
I understand. Let me clarify my question. If the body camera or the dash cam confirms what your client says, hooray. But if it then proves that, no, it wasn't that, it was a missed call or something, then you just have to accept those facts as well.
I would say yes, but that's just not how it often works. I mean, even in cases where it is a clear cut, like this guy clearly didn't do what the police officer said he was doing, I mean, we still try those cases. I mean, it still goes before, and the officer's going to say one thing, and they're able to say, well, the video wasn't very clear, it was blurry, and so you really don't know exactly what the officer was hearing at that time. In fact, I was just reading a case.
Let me guess here. You're standing in the middle of an open field, and there's 12 cameras all the way around you, and some guy comes up and caps this guy in the head, and it's all on camera, on all 12 cameras, and it's clear as day, top quality film, the whole works, and you go to court and say, well, we're still going to do it. Isn't that what they do?
Well, how about this for an example? There was actually a cell phone recording. It was part of the Black Lives Matter movement. It was a big deal. It was the kid named Scott. That was, I think, a Michael Slager was the police officer. And the kid takes off running. It was nationally public. It was all over every news channel. And the police officer just caps him like 4 or 5 times in the back. Yeah. Everybody remembers this video. It was absurd. And so that police officer got fired and charged with murder. And that's clearly on the tape. And the defense attorneys took it to trial. They got a mistrial.
Unbelievable, man.
They got a mistrial. Okay? And he came back and he pled guilty later. And the feds got involved and they were going to charge him with some things. And so he did. And from my understanding, reading the news articles, obviously I don't live in that state. But from what I read, you know, he ended up pleading guilty to the charge, and so they would avoid a second jury trial, which was coming up quickly. And it was for a civil rights violation, and I saw the victim's family. They felt victorious, and I was like, victorious? I mean, this guy was absolutely out of line. I mean, it was completely out of line. He had said that the kid was coming at him with a taser. This is what he put in the police report. And it's obvious that the kid was running away. And so, yeah, we don't know what happened, everything up to that point. But at that point, he drew on the kid while he was running away. There was no point in doing that, in my opinion. It was, and I just felt like a violation of civil rights was kind of a light. But he could still be sentenced to life by the federal judge. I'm not sure how it turned out. So maybe there was justice done, but they got away with one trial. So that you think that video is clear cut, and I thought it was, but you know, they took it to trial and they won the first one. So this trial is a win from the defense standpoint.
So an easy question, just to throw it out there: are cameras better to have or not better to have?
No, they're better to have, absolutely. But you know, you could.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't seem like it matters.
A good lawyer can always make an argument. Remember, there's good lawyers for the government and the defense, and so from either side. You have to realize the systemic biases in play, and you also have to realize right what your competition is going to allege. And so that's part of what goes into making my job, I don't know whether it's fun or stressful or both, but that's part. And so, yeah, you can always launch that. And I feel like that gives some credibility to people who want to make their own recording, because a lot of times the police will say that, you know, not really the police officers, but the government who's alleging, well, the video is not clear, you can't hear certain things. And so you go back and there was a chain of cases from the district courts, federal district courts, that were saying, well, you don't have a right to record under the First Amendment. So that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today, was the First Amendment issues. And we're saying, well, this is not expressive conduct, this is not being expressive, because the person's not a journalist and they have no intent to disseminate this information, therefore it's not expressive, it's just conduct in itself. I have a problem with that for several reasons. We talked about burning flags. I don't agree with burning flags. I don't like it. I think people that do it are stupid. I think that they're not being very patriotic, but I do probably differ from you guys and a lot of the listeners on the station that I feel like we do have a right to do it. It is part of the free market of ideas.
No, I agree with you. I did not wear a uniform so that I could be a hypocrite, but I can use my First Amendment right to say, you're an idiot. What the hell's the matter with you? That flag represents freedom for you, you dumb whatever. You know, you're desecrating a flag that gives you the right to do that. So I agree with you.
Well, you know, and so it's a free marketplace of ideas, and if it's a bad idea, eventually it's like capitalism. If it's a bad product, eventually people are going to stop buying it. And so with the same with flag burning, I feel like if they want to do it, fine, protect them under the First Amendment, but it's a free marketplace, and that idea and that type of expressive conduct should not be bought into because it's stupid. And so that was just an example of what maybe expressive conduct would be, because that burning the flag is conduct, but it is expressive in the fact that they're trying to say some kind of message. They're upset with the United States. They're mad at the draft policy. They're mad at some aspect of what's going on, is why they're doing as part of this conduct. And so the courts are trying to say, well, this is conduct and it's not even expressive. My problem with this opinion is that any kind of expression that has literary value, whether it be a movie, a picture, a writing, it starts off as a recording. Everything starts off as being recorded if it's going to be for expressive purposes, unless you're speaking on a microphone or something. Otherwise, if you write a book, you have a recording process to go through. If you're taking pictures, that's part of expression. Part of the whole point of expression is to record and to have that information disseminated later, or to keep it for yourself and enjoy it as part of your private papers. That's part of your First Amendment rights. And so I disagree that with those early opinions saying that it was not expressive conduct to be able to record police doing their job. Eventually, though, I'm glad that courts have started to go in a direction opposite to this, and we have just recently had a Fifth Circuit. That's here in Texas. The Fifth Circuit regulates the federal law, right, for the state of Texas and Mississippi and other states. But the February 22nd, 2017 opinion basically says that you have a right to record police officers, right, in public property. And it was, I think this case was probably highly circulated too. If you remember, it was some Dallas police officers pull up to a man that was recording their police facility. I think it was in the midst of all the turmoil that was going on in Dallas. It may have been just before, too, the shooting that happened with the police, if you guys remember.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And So there was a lot of animosity between the citizenry and the police in some aspects of how things were being done and enforced. And this gentleman was simply recording the facility and from across the street, mind you. And the police are, can we see your ID? And he said, why do you want to see my ID? Well, we got a right to know who's over here, you know, recording our facilities and on our facilities. Well, he was across the street, one. And then he's like, well, I don't understand, you know, why. He's like, well, you don't have to give us our ID, but if you don't, we're going to arrest you. They arrested him, and it went up to the Fifth Circuit. He won the trial court, went up to the Fifth Circuit. The Fifth Circuit says you do have a First Amendment right to record police officers in a public setting.
But he had to go and jump through all the hoops and spend all the money, and they knew that.
Exactly. And then they said that this was not a clearly established right so that he could not sue for a violation of his First Amendment rights. But he's probably still going to be able to recover because they didn't have any probable cause to arrest him under the Fourth Amendment. You can't, generally speaking, it's known. I know there is some debate, but you can't just, a police officer can't just ask for your ID when he's got absolutely no reason to even stop
him. I want to make a point clear, and you made this very clear last time we were on. Although we agree that you can record, there's a method of doing it.
Right.
The respectful method. Go over that with everybody. And everybody, 254-697-6633, give us a call if you got a comment, question, opinion, all the bad stuff goes to Trey, though. Give us a call, and we can talk to you. But go over those things about, if you're going to do it, man, the law enforcement officer is constantly in a state of danger because he never knows or she never knows what's going to happen next. And I respect that. But I also know they're professionals, and they should act accordingly, just like I'm a professional, and everybody should be a professional and give respect. If they don't like the person, give it to the badge and the uniform. So go ahead.
There's a lot to First Amendment law, and of course, it only applies to government actors. It wouldn't apply, I think, probably if you go into a private place, if they want to restrict recording and things like that. And then I think the post office can for security reasons. There's time, place, and manner restrictions. In other words, you can record under certain, given certain time, place, and manner restrictions. And we talked about the City of Houston versus Hill case, where in that case, the United States Supreme Court, the big dogs, said that a person's right to challenge police action is the fundamental concept that distinguishes a free nation from a police state. And so we have this right, and it's an important right to challenge police action, but you cannot go to the point of interfering.
Right.
Or
that's just common sense, man. It's just like, let them record it if you have to, but leave them alone. Let them do their duties.
And so there have been many judicial decisions that are in the same vein as the Fifth Circuit's that have said, yes, you have a First Amendment right to record police in a public setting as long as you do not interfere, right, and or disrupt what they're doing to a point that it becomes unlawful. And I can't. This is going to be a fact-by-fact basis. At what point does it start to disrupt police officers and attorneys for police and police associations and the districts, right, representing police officers have tons of arguments.
You may not be able to do it, but I'm going to say something.
I was about to give you some of those factors that we talked about. We said if they're surrounded and it's limiting their ability, and there's been some arguments made about bystanders getting hurt, and I want to address this before I go any further. I don't like this argument because every type of protest or something where a police officer gets involved is going to have some aspect of danger, and it builds too much of a factual scenario, and it'll be based on police officers' belief whether there was a danger, and that just gives rise to another credibility issue. If the officer says it, then the judge is going to take it for what it is, and that's not fair. And you think about the civil rights movement and how many pictures were moving into that movement. We look back. How many pictures do you see of police or other white folks like taking a bottle to some black person's head or in the marches that we've had, and how influential seeing those pictures were in making change to our society? And we saw those, and even people who might white people who might have been somewhat racist sometimes said, man, that's wrong. That ain't right. I mean, we don't need to have police or anybody else just beating the hell out of these people that are sitting in a coffee shop or diner because they want to be served, a milkshake. And so those things are important. And so if they tried to limit those journalists or whoever were taking pictures from the scene because there was some kind of danger,
we would never know. That's right.
And how many times, I mean, the military has their own photographers for this purpose
and the press is allowed to go into these war zones for the very reason, right, of getting these very influential photographs, which are expression. They are known as expression, and there is no other right thing to call a recording than an expression, because a picture speaks 1,000 words and a video is thousands of pictures in a time sequence. And so how could you ever deny us the right to do that because they're posed a danger? If I want to be in there and capture that moment for expressive purposes, why stop me from doing that? And so I feel like people should have a right to do it, and saying that we can't be there because there's a danger only gives rise to a police officer's credibility judgment, and that later will be able to be upheld in any court because, like I said, of systemic biases. And how am I ever gonna have enough to say that I wasn't in danger when a police officer has all this training and experience? I think it would chill protected expression. And so I think that the courts are going in the right direction, but you can love to give me a hypothetical what you think.
Well, no, you were touching. I was just saying, like, back off. Stop mocking. Stop doing whatever it is that would get a normal person fired up emotionally. They're doing their duties. Understand what a law enforcement officer does. He's to uphold the law. And sure, you got some bad apples. Understood, totally. And we deal with those as the time comes. But in the process, if everybody just get it done, back off, record it. You're going to jail anyway at this point. Somebody record it. The person that they're arresting, if you don't like and you're recording it, that person's going to jail no matter what. Shut up. Let it get done real quick and video it. Record it and then use it for later. But then you're going to escalate the situation. That's my opinion. It's like,
right. And you could. And that's been some arguments. You're gonna essentially upset the person being arrested, and then other individuals that might be Confederates with this person, they're going to come in, and it's going to really escalate the situation. But again, I mean, and you go and you also look too. I would tell police officers too, if there's really not a dangerous situation, why get mad? You're only going to look that much better if you're having to deal with
That's right.
annoying people recording you, and you're just doing your job and you're still being respectful and you're going through with it. That is going to play a sympathy card for you that is just unstoppable in court. I mean, a jury's gonna be like, you know, this officer did the best he could, and he was just doing the best he could and being as nice as he could, despite the fact of all these buttheads around him, you know, and annoying recordings and trying to get him and catch him in something he was doing wrong when he was absolutely following the law as it should have been done.
Now, if the person that this officer is arresting goes past, if I'm a police officer, because I go through this all the time, thought about being a police officer the whole works, I'm gonna be very respectful, and to the point that you're not. As soon as you disrespect me, all bets are off of my niceness. That's it. So if these guys are arresting people and they're complying, everybody's going to look good. But as soon as somebody starts going beyond the bounds of respect and compliance, unless it's something that's like, oh my gosh, what's happening? It's a harmful or threatening of life and all this kind of stuff. You both can look good. The disrespectful attitude towards law enforcement and vice versa needs to stop. And people may think, oh, you're dreaming. No, I'm not dreaming. It can happen. It's upbringing. Respect, okay? You, if you're a respectful person, can ooze out that respect to some young buck or some young gal who hasn't known it yet and be a mentor and start teaching it, and you can turn it around. It's all about respect, man.
Can I interject real quick, Matt?
Go ahead.
You can't wait on other people to do it. You got to start it.
That's right.
Don't wait on somebody else to do it. Be the example.
And there's a lot of people out there in homes, families that have not got it because the family unit has been disintegrated, and it's very difficult to get proper upbringing anymore. It's still out there, but it's pretty thin and spaced out quite a lot. So people who have been blessed with that, we need to start oozing it out and sharing it with people.
But at the same time, police officers are trained. There's been several court opinions saying that the police officer is trained to handle more criticism, right, than other people. And we talked about
that's baloney. And I'm not saying that to you. I'm saying I think that's a crock. Because
I disagree. Police officers go through training.
They go through the training, but they're just as emotional as anybody else.
Well, they shouldn't be.
But they got better.
They have guns. They have weapons. They have protection. They have a vest. Right. I don't have that as a citizen. When I'm sitting there facing a police officer, I feel like it's coming across aggressive, or he already comes across aggressive. They're wearing dark blue or black uniforms, right, which is already a sign of authority. And so a lot of times they already come off as way too aggressive.
Let me clarify.
A bad day.
Let me clarify. They're supposed to be professional, but they're human too.
Understand.
And even though you're professional, human emotion can get involved. That's where I was getting at. I'm not saying just because they went to school and they don't have it. No, they should have it. But every now and then when a situation happens, they're human and emotions will flare. So I'm just putting that out there.
But so they have this training that it is not supposed to flare. They're not supposed to let their emotions get to them. If they do have an emotional problem, they don't need to be a police officer. If they have an emotional problem, and I'm not saying police officers make mistakes, I understand. I'm not saying if you ever make a mistake, you shouldn't be a police officer. I'm saying if you're the type of person who lets emotions get to you, probably like me, that's why I'm not a police officer, right? If you're the type of person who lets emotions get to you, right, you do not need to be a police officer, right, on a consistent basis. That's my opinion. I'm not saying that you can never let emotions get to you. I got the chief looking at me right now, but hey, that's what I think, right? And there's been court opinions say, you know, they're supposed to be able to handle a little bit more criticism than other people. They have this training for that purpose. Now, I'm not saying you should be disrespectful. I think it's dumb, but you know, there's been times when I've had to tell a cop, "Look, man, you've asked your questions. I don't want to answer anymore, and you're pissing me off. So write me a ticket or do something else." Right, and I mean, at some point, it becomes like you're being disrespectful by continuing to hold me here and violate my rights, and I don't appreciate it. And so, yeah, at some point, they can be acting respectful, but they're being disrespectful by the fact of they're not letting you go. And so, that in itself is not okay from my standpoint. And yes, when I think I'm getting cut off here, but hey,
not because I'm cutting you off, because we're crunched on time. How much time I got, Trey? I got it. Tell us who you are.
Ray, if you've been disrespected by a police officer, you call me. My name is 2-6-6-5-3-3. You can email me, Benton@watson.legal. That's Benton@watson.legal. Generally, I think all you cops do a great job, and I love to work with you on a daily basis. It does happen to me.
I love your passion, Ross. I love your passion.
Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cappellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cappellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Sentex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Sentex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at SentexTacticalGear.com. Sentex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Sentex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at SentexTacticalGear.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio Program. Today is August 5th, 2017, and we're at our topic of interest segment. We had a hot segment last segment, and I just want to reiterate, I totally respect law enforcement, and we're just talking because humans have emotions, and we're discussing the emotional aspect of it, and I'm giving my two cents on it. Okay, topic of interest. Let me tell you what's going on in the month of August. Next Friday, August 11th, will be our next round robin. I need you there by 6:30. It starts exactly at 7. This month's prize will be the High Point 9mm carbine. Nice little package there. And the round robin, if you haven't been to one or seen one, the rules for the round robin are at aaronsgunshop.com homepage. At the top, there's a link. Click on the link, and it'll show you all the rules. And real quick, it's basically, if we got 15 people, for example, there'll be three strings of five. Everybody brings their own firearm. And you go onto the string and you put your firearm on the counter, on the table, the bench there. And each person goes through and shoots everybody else's gun under a certain time allotment. And you have to shoot with speed, accuracy, and under the stress of not being familiar with the gun that you're shooting. So you get excellent training. Now, the fee for that, the cost to enter in that round-robin competition is $20. Normally, if you want to go shooting at the range, it's $10 for the night. So think about it. For $20, you get to shoot all night. You get to compete in a competition that if you win, you get a nice prize. And you also get some great training under stress and dealing with different types of handguns. So next Friday, August 11th, will be the next round-robin. Be there by 6:30. Starts exactly at 7 p.m. and the prize is a High Point 9mm carbine. August 18th, it's ladies' night. The ladies' range time is free. Guys or gals, bring your gals. It's going to be range time is free on August 18th for ladies' night. Now, I got something special coming up here. And I'll tell you what, Trey, while I'm talking, go ahead and pull up my YouTube channel, pull up the testimonial page on Aaron's Gun Shop, and we're going to play a couple of the testimonials from the ladies after I get done explaining this. I don't do this very often on my own. I only do like two or three in the course of the year, but I'm going to set up another one here because I've had a lot of ladies asking me. It's a ladies-only seminar. It's a self-defense with a handgun and home invasion seminar. And there's a lot going on in that seminar. I'm going to read to you basically what's off the flyer. It's the Ladies Only Home and Self-Defense Training Seminar. It goes over mindset and philosophy, gun safety and handling, reloads, how to reload your weapon, point shooting, which is critical. We're going to do handgun round robin. So if you're not going to compete on the 11th, if you were to take this course on the 26th, you actually get to do some training doing that. Room clearing, we'll go into our mock shoot house. We'll go room to room, learning how to turn corners, go down hallways, how to handle yourself with a firearm. Possibly go over some law enforcement aspects, do some student scenarios, live fire shooting, and the live firing will consist of shooting at a target on the move, shooting multiple targets on the move, reloads, so on and so forth. So you're going to get a lot of hands-on. And another big thing, too, is malfunctions. We have a segment on there where we get all these different types of guns and put them in different scenarios of not working. And you've got to go by each one and try to figure it out. And you will know how to do it by the end of the day. You'll be almost a master at it because we just do it over and over and over again. So that's August 26th. That's a Saturday. It'll be all day starting at 8 o'clock in the morning till about 6 in the evening. That includes a barbecue lunch. And you'll have me as your instructor going over all these points. So write that down in your calendar. It'll be posted on my website at aaronsgunshop.com. And you can sign up there on the High Cap Adventure page as well. Okay. What else we got here? If you're having a party, you can have it at Aaron's. Corporate party, small business, birthday, bachelor, bachelorette, or just for the heck of it, you can have a cool party. A place to party and a place to shoot all under the same roof. If you're looking for a place like that, you give me a call. We'll set it up there. Or go to the website, aaronsgunshop.com. Send me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com, and we can get you squared away on that and give you the details of what's going on. Now, sitting to my left is my brother Mark Boyer, retired Green Beret, and he is in for a special cause concerning Second Lieutenant Darren Andrews, hero and defender of freedom, fallen soldier. Mark, welcome to the show again.
Hey, thanks, Matt. I always love being here. You've got some of the coolest guests and some of the best information out there. It's awesome.
Thank you, sir.
And as I'm looking at you right now, I'm thinking that 32 years ago, you and I were jumping out of planes, humping a rucksack across the desert, and now 32 years later, I am about to go do the same thing with you on the 19th of August.
Woo-hoo!
It's going to be an exciting thing, but I just realized this morning that my back is not what it used to be.
Yeah, same here, brother. Same here. That's why they get them young when they go in.
Another thing I love about your radio show, Matt, is that you are a patriot, and that resonates amongst your audience, and they are patriots, and they're veterans. They've got family members that are veterans. Some of them are fallen veterans, or they know of fallen veterans. And this event coming up on the 19th is going to be so incredible, a great way for these people to memorialize and show their appreciation for the sacrifice that these people have done for our country and our beliefs. Now, before I go any further, I want your audience to get a pencil and a paper, because I got two very important phone numbers to give out at the end of this briefing.
Okay.
I know we got a little bit of time to talk about this, but you know me, over the past...
Get a little closer to the mic. There you go, Mike.
I'm sorry. With my big chops, I figured I could resonate amongst the whole county. But, you know, I don't support the war or the politics involved with war, but I do support the warriors.
Absolutely.
And especially Wounded Warrior Foundation, Special Operations Charity Network, the Oscar Mike Foundation, which encourages handicapped or disabled veterans to continue on and live their life. I think that it's... On the move is what it stands for. Oscar Mike, on the move. But more importantly, right here in Cameron, on the 19th of August, a lot of people are coming together for this. Some big names are coming for this event. It's going to be the 2nd Lieutenant Andrews, Master Sergeant Price, Memorial Rucksack March, and Memorial Service. It's going to be on the 19th of August. The Ruck March and the 8-mile hike starts at 8 a.m., Everybody's going to assemble at the Cameron Park at the gazebo. It's where we register and get accountability to make sure everybody is happy and they got plenty of water. We're going to start at 8 o'clock. We're going to hike down the road to Denials on the highway.
Yep.
Turn around. We're going to sing Kumbaya and Happy Holidays. And then we're going to come back, link up at the park. And then at 1 o'clock at the park is the memorial service. So if you're not interested in coming on the Ruck March or the hike, and you don't need to bring a rucksack if you don't want to, but we do encourage you to dress with a patriotic flair and memorialize not only Darren and Master Sergeant Price, but also those fallen people in your family or those dear friends of yours that sacrificed for our country. So, but you can show up at 8 o'clock for that to do the march, or come at 1 o'clock for the memorial service. And there's a very special guest, the Ruck leader and the keynote speaker, Mr. Earl Granville, who served in Bosnia, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pennsylvania with the National Guard. He lost his left leg, and he is still out there doing the Boston Marathon. He's been on several TV shows promoting fallen veterans or disabled veterans how to continue on with a better life. And I am really looking forward. I'm excited to hear him. He's an incredible guy. And then as I was doing some more research on Lieutenant Andrews and Master Sergeant Price, well, Darren and I, we met. We were in the sandbox at the same time, along with several other veterans here in the area. And so I got the utmost respect for him. Now, I don't have a big love for a lot of officers, but he is one of the most honorable officers that I've ever had.
Mark, I got 1 minute left here. Can you give a real quick idea of what these two were involved with? We know Darren pretty much. Want to say it real quick before we get a break.
Darren was on a search mission for this guy Bergdahl, one of the most dishonorable people in the war. And Darren sacrificed himself for his crew of infantry that were out there doing the searching. And I encourage everyone to investigate that. And then Master Sergeant Price, this guy, he's incredible. He did six tours in the combat zone. I did six tours. And I know how it can change people, but he was still out there punching. He was giving every step of the way. A final note is that there is a Second Lieutenant Darren Andrews scholarship for the Milam County school system. And if anybody wants to participate in that, they can call Sandra Andrews at 254-697-1989 and purchase a T-shirt in his memory, which will support the scholarship. And anyone looking for more information for this entire event, call Bobby Weissman at 254-482-3112.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back on the other side, you can give us a call, 254-697-6633. We'll have the information here if you want to, maybe we can repeat it for you if you're interested. So give us a call, and we'll see you on the other side. The Adventure Program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035.
For sales, service, maintenance, and supplies for our motorcycles, ATV, Ford Trackers, and more, stop by Two Wheel Customs, located on Highway 53 in Zopchickville. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Two Wheel Customs offers the best in repairs and maintenance on any make, model, or size of motorcycle. If you're looking to buy or sell your unit, David Trojan and his crew can take all the hassle of paperwork and displaying your motorcycle. If you're looking to buy, Two Wheel Customs always has vehicles on display for purchase. In addition, you can find a store full of varying apparel, everything from boots to helmets, along with a great inventory of accessories for your motorcycle. Give Two Wheel Customs a call at area code 254-760-2250. That's 254-760-2250. Two Wheel Customs on Highway 53 in Zopchickville.
Now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. I hope everybody's having a great Saturday morning. Here we are on the 5th day of August. Just think, football started Thursday night. It's that time of the year. All is good in the world right now. You know, last week I had a request that we talk a little bit about something that kind of ironically kind of goes into what maybe was talked about just a few minutes ago about body cameras. You know, domestic abuse, and the request I had was to talk a little bit about, you know, living in fear and what happens when you're a victim of domestic abuse. And I know we've talked about domestic abuse in the past several times, but this is a time that, you know, especially with the dog days of summer here, football season starting, and a lot of stress from vacations, etc. So I thought we'd revisit that today, but I do want to say one thing a few moments ago, or if I get a few moments to about the segment that was previous. You know, I talked about body cameras and about the use of body cameras and things of that nature. Well, I'll tell you right now, as a former police chief, as a police officer, there's nothing to me that's more important than having a body camera. A lot of people don't like body cameras, and I don't have a problem, to be quite honest with you. I truly don't have a problem with anybody videotaping me when I'm doing my job, because I'm going to try to do my job as right and as good as possible. What I do have a problem with is those people that videotape police officers and only give certain segments of what was videotaped. If you're going to videotape, and if you're going to have the you-know-whats to videotape a police officer, you ought to have the you-know-whats to show the entire video from A to Z, not just a segment that's going to make them look bad. So that's my only comment I have about that. You know, domestic violence and abuse can happen to anyone, yet the problem is often overlooked, excused, or even denied. And I know we have a, especially when you look at a society and different cultures in society, you know, this is something that just a lot of people don't want to admit that happens in their family. You know, this is especially true when the abuse is psychological rather than physical. And I'm here to tell you right now, psychological abuse many times can be worse, much worse than physical abuse. Scars, bruises, they heal. The mind never heals in some respects. And that's why I think it's important we talk about that a little bit today. Noticing and acknowledging the signs of an abusive relationship is the first step to ending it. No one should live in fear of the person they love. Not a single person. If you love them, you shouldn't be afraid of them. If you recognize yourself or someone you know in the following warning that have the following warning signs and the description of abuse, do me a favor. Reach out to them. Try to help them. Try to give them some encouragement, some guidance. Domestic abuse, also known as spousal abuse in many circles, occurs when one person is in an intimate relationship or marriage tries to dominate and control the other person. Now, can you imagine? You know, love is supposed to be one of those 50-50 things. And I know that sometimes we say, well, 50-50 equals 100, so it's 99-1. But, you know, domestic abuse includes anything from physical violence to the mind-altering, the pressure you put on people, the words you use against people. So it runs the full gamut. Domestic violence and abuse are used for one purpose and one purpose only. That's to gain and maintain total control over you. That's all it is. An abuser doesn't play fair. Abusers use fear, guilt, shame, and intimidation to wear you down and keep you under his or her thumb. And that's something that's really sad. You know, if you wake up in the morning, if you're in fear, you go home at night from work and you're in fear, think about that a moment. Think about the pain, the frustration that you're going to be living through. An abuser also may threaten you, and that's what's even worse. You know, if that occurs within all ranges, I don't care whether you're black, white, brown, purple, polka dot. I don't care if you're Hispanic. I don't care if you're Southeast Asian. It doesn't make any difference. Everything we do in a relationship, if you have to use some kind of pressure, some kind of fear to control a person, that's a form of spousal abuse. And like I said, you know, you don't have to be married to have this either. Dating situations, casual dating situations, domestic violence happens in all of those gamuts and all those facets. It also happens among homosexual couples as well as it does heterosexual couples. It occurs with all ages of people, all ranges of people. It's there, and we need to take our hand out of the sand, and we need to admit those problems. You know, the bottom line is that abusive behavior is never acceptable, folks. Whether you're coming from a man, a woman, a teenager, or even an older adult. I had the opportunity just here recently to watch a teenage girl. When I say teenage, I'm talking about a 14-year-old, 15-year-old child, talk to her mother like she was a dog. And to me, that is as much domestic abuse as ever. She called her every name under the book, used every F word she could, the big bomb words, you know, and that was right in the middle of a shopping location south of here. So, folks, you know, you need to understand that when we talk about domestic abuse, many times what we do can either escalate it or that verbal abuse can make it go to violence. And while physical injury may be the most obvious danger, the emotional and psychological consequences of domestic abuse are also severe. Emotionally abused relationships can destroy your self-worth, and that's really what's sad. It can lead you to anxiety and depression and make you feel helpless and alone. I've talked to many victims of domestic abuse, and that's exactly how they feel, helpless and alone. No one should have to endure that kind of pain. No one. And your first step to breaking free is recognize that your situation is abusive. Once you acknowledge the reality of your abusive situation, then you can start to get the help you need. And there are many signs of that abusive relationship. The most telling sign is fear of your partner. If you feel like you have to walk on eggshells around your partner, constantly watching what you say and do in order to avoid a blow-up, chances are your relationship is unhealthy and abusive. Other signs that you may have or be in an abusive relationship include a partner who belittles you or tries to control you, the feelings of self-loathing, helplessness, and desperation. We've all seen that. It's a sad situation. When people talk about domestic violence, they're often referring to the physical abuse of a spouse or intimate partner. Physical abuse is the use of some kind of physical force against someone in some way. And that physical force, in all reality, folks, it can be hitting, it can be striking, it can be punching, but it could also be some type of rough actions within the bedroom or thing of that nature, something that can hurt someone so emotionally strong that they can't even break free of those emotions. The police department, you know, that you rely on, whether it's in Cameron, whether it's in Rockdale, whether it's in Milam County, Temple, Waco, wherever, the police department is going to respond. And folks, it's also important to understand that when that police officer responds, he has a duty to do. The law is very, very strong and very distinct about that law. It doesn't say that you can do something. Under the Texas laws, it says that the police officer shall do something. That means that he's got to take some kind of action. And usually that means separating the parties for the night. Doesn't always mean that somebody's going to be arrested. Doesn't always mean that somebody's going to be placed in a jail. But it does mean that if he's doing his job or she's doing her job, that to mitigate the chances of something blowing up and becoming much worse, one party has to be separated for the night. And I guess you could call that a cooling down period. You know, and many times the men and women suffer who go through this suffer from severe emotional abuse, which is no less destructive, folks. Unfortunately, emotional abuse is often minimized or overlooked, even by the person being abused. The aim of emotional abuse is to chip away at your feelings of self-worth and independence. If you're the victim of, and listen to me carefully out here, folks, if you're the victim of emotional abuse, you may feel that there's no way out of the relationship, or that without your abusive partner, you have nothing at all. Please get that out of your mind, whether you're male or female. If someone is abusing you, whether physically or emotionally, that's not the relationship you want to be in for the rest of your life. And I want to say something that's very, very touching here, and I want you to think about this. If you're a victim of emotional abuse or physical abuse, and you've got children in the home, those children are seeing what's happening. They see what mom and dad are doing. They see what mom and boyfriend or dad and girlfriend are doing. And the chances are that they're going to follow those emotions as they get older. Folks, it's that never-ending cycle. It's kind of like the old saying, a child of an alcoholic has a tendency to become alcoholic. A child of a child abuser becomes a child abuser. Well, I'm here to tell you, a child of emotional or a physical domestic abuser has a tendency to become the same as they grow up. So it's important that you put a kibosh on that right away, that you understand the feelings of that and understand that. You know, you may think that physical abuse is far worse than emotional abuse, since physical violence can send you to the hospital and leave you with scars. But folks, the scar of emotional abuse are real and they can run deep. In fact, emotional abuse can be just as damaging, sometimes more damaging, so much more. It's impossible to know with certainty what goes on behind closed doors. None of us do. But there are some telltale signs and symptoms of emotional abuse and domestic violence. If you have friends that you feel are victims of that, it's important you look at that and you understand that. If you witness any warning signs of abuse in a friend, family member, coworker, take them very seriously, folks. If you suspect that someone you know is being abused, speak up. There's nothing that can be helped by keeping quiet. If you're hesitating, tell yourself that it's none of your business, or if you tell yourself it's none of your business, you might be wrong, or the person might not want to talk about it. Keep in mind that expressing your concern will let the person know that you care and may even save his or her life. Remember, abusers many times are good at controlling, manipulating their victims. People who have been emotionally abused or battered are depressed, drained, scarred, ashamed, and confused many times. They need help. They need your help. They need my help. They need everybody's help. So if you're a victim of that, if you know someone that is, help somebody. Simply pick up the telephone. Ask them. If you see continuous patterns of bruising and scarring, or if you have hear of continuously this happening within the home, you can call many different help agencies, the police department, and you don't have to give your name. Just understand that by not calling, not reporting, not reaching out, you may be aiding that person who is the abuser. Put a stop to it. Put a great stop to it. You know, here recently, as a matter of fact, this a couple of days ago, there was a horrific event that happened to the town just to the north of us, about 30 miles. You know, a 15-year-old child took the life of a stepfather. I cannot fathom the pain and suffering that is going through that entire family. Folks, put a stop to it before that happens. Put a stop that something someday is going to stop the cycle of domestic abuse. So, I know I'm on my preaching scale a little bit today, but domestic abuse is something that's very real. It's something that we all deal with. And the good thing is, when a police officer responds to domestic abuse, he's probably going to have his body camera on. So I wish everybody a great day. Have a wonderful weekend. And we'll see you on the radio next Saturday.
For sales, service, maintenance, and supplies for our motorcycles, ATV, four trackers, and more, stop by Two Wheel Customs, located on Highway 53 in Zopchickville. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Two Wheel Customs offers the best in repairs and maintenance on any make, model, or size of motorcycle. If you're looking to buy or sell your unit, David Trojan and his crew can take all the hassle of paperwork and displaying your motorcycle. If you're looking to buy, Two Wheel Customs always has vehicles on display for purchase. In addition, you can find a store full of varying apparel, everything from boots to helmets, along with a great inventory of accessories for your motorcycle. Give Two Wheel Customs a call at area code 254-760-2250. That's 254-760-2250. Two Wheel Customs on Highway 53 in Zopchickville.
When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Sentex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Sentex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at SentexTacticalGear.com. Sentex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Sentex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at SentexTacticalGear.com.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Vitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Arch
Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. It's kind of hot in here. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I was talking to you about the Ladies Only Seminar on the 26th of August, and I didn't get a chance to play the two testimonials on it. Ladies, listen up to this very close. I picked two because one of them I know was very apprehensive, and the other one, well, you'll hear it for yourself. Trey, I'll tell you what, go ahead. They're about 1 minute each. We'll play them, and then I'll get back to our product spotlight. Go ahead.
Yeah. Everybody, we're here with Bailey. She just took the High Cap Adventure Ladies Only Self-Defense and Home Invasion Training Seminar, and she came from where again, Bailey?
Andrews, Texas.
Andrews, okay. She came a long ways. What motivated you, pumped you up to come that long ways to take the class?
Partially that it was a woman's only, so there wasn't a competition, and also my husband wasn't here, which made me feel a little bit more comfortable about asking questions about a gun.
Okay.
And partially the radio advertisements that I heard, it just sounded like the type home defense that I wanted to take versus some of the self-defense classes I've seen in our area.
And after taking the class, did a good job?
Yes, I liked it a lot. I'm ready to come back for our next
class. Awesome. We were glad to have you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
All right. Everybody, we're speaking with Cindy here. She came from San Angelo to take the High Cap Adventures Ladies Only Self-Defense and Home Invasion Seminar. Cindy, what made
ladies
you
and gentlemen, we have
to
come along here. She came all the way from Midland,
Texas, to come
class.
And take the Aaron's Gun Shop High Cap Adventures.
I invited my aunt to come to this class. At first, I wasn't taking the class until the instructor, Matt, started the class, and I got so excited about how well he was informing us about how to defend ourselves and making us aware of how to take care of ourselves with a weapon. And I said, at the beginning, I said if I could take the class, then he said yes.
Well, we're so glad you did, and I'm glad you had a great time, and I'm sure that you'll come back for some more classes and do some more training.
It's really exciting.
Well, great.
Everything that you taught us is going to make a big difference.
Well, awesome. We're glad that you came. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. A couple of testimonials from the testimonial page. A lot of ladies. I just didn't record them all. But the basic bottom line was they get away from their boyfriends or husbands or whatever, and they get to let their hair down. I'm basically the surrogate husband, and I answer all the questions, and they're willing to listen to me. That's just basically how it works. When the guy's around, somehow, for some reason, the lady is just quiet. And I get it, but when they're not there, the guys ain't there, the women open up, they have a blast. Pun intended, great time. So August 26th, Saturday all day, is the next Ladies Only Seminar. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the High Cap Adventure page, you can see the flyer there, and you can sign up. Now, for this segment, which is the product spotlight, sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer, it's going to be the Super Blackhawk, Ruger Super Blackhawk. It's a tank of a gun, all right? And I've got this review from guns.com. So give ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer a call at 254-983-4417. They've got one on the shelf right now. If you go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the Facebook page, you'll see a picture of it there and have the price tag on it, the whole works, and you can give them a call and say, hey, I want that gun. But here we go. I'm going to read a quick review on it. And this is from Andy C. on guns.com. Ruger has staked their reputation on building tough, reliable firearms at a reasonable price for years now. Common descriptors of their guns are working class, practical, and perhaps the most common, overbuilt. While I'm not sure the first two fit the bill of the Super Blackhawk, the last one certainly does, and I love it. This 44 Magnum big bore revolver is so tough, hand-loading manuals include information for use in them exclusively. Can you imagine that? You've got a reloading book, and it's got its own little section. You can't get much better endorsement on durability than that. Now, here's a spoiler from this guy. Spoiler for those uninterested in reading to the end. This gun is awesome, and if you can afford one, you should buy it. Here's the basic overview. The Super Blackhawk is one of Ruger's oldest designs. It's a single-action revolver with some modernizations based off the Colt guns and of yore, and a variety of Super Blackhawk models have been available over the years. The most common I see is the 44 Magnum, and that's what I'm reviewing here. The example I'm reviewing is a big old wheel gun tipping the scales with a hefty 2.7 pounds and measuring up to a 10.5 inches overall. The gun comes out of the molded plastic case with an oversized padlock and instruction manual. It's available in stainless and blued, and sometimes there's limited production runs with case hardening or other variations. For the money, you are getting quite a hunk of gun. The Super Blackhawk heft is immediately noticeable, though please don't take my meaning as in an awkward way. Yes, it's a huge gun, most noticeably the giant cylinder and barrel assembly, but it does not feel silly or overwhelming to me, partly because of the balance and partly because of the traditional cowboy grips that fit nicely in most hands. It balances freakishly well in a single-handed grip, and I gotta confirm that. You get this big huge gun in your hand and it just rolls in your hand. Construction is, in a word, solid. The loading gate on the right side of the gun opens and closes with a good authoritarian click and is still comfortably snug on my example after thousands of operations. From an aesthetic standpoint, I think this is one of the coolest looking guns I've ever owned. It looks even more impressive next to other guns to provide a sense of scale. My gun shipped with no obvious rough areas on machining and a very consistent finish. I was impressed. Even internally, the gun is smooth all around. The Blackhawk shoots wonderfully. Cocking the hammer requires a light amount of force, after which a very light, crisp trigger with no creep or take-up to speak of takes only about 6 pounds of pressure to set off your favorite 44 Magnum load. From the factory, the trigger is very good. It's also something of a cliche, but it's true that the plow handle-shaped grip helps the gun roll in your hand with recoil. Combined with the weight of the Super Blackhawk, it's comfortable to shoot loads that would feel rather punishing in most double-action revolvers. The Blackhawk sights are another departure from the common gutter and half-moon fixed sights. Here, you get a modern set of sight adjustable for windage and elevation with a small flathead screwdriver and a tall front post. They allow for quick and accurate shooting. When adjusting, it provides positive clicks and can cover a broad range of elevation, allowing for the full range of 44 Magnum hand loads. I have yet to load something up I can't make shoot to point of aim at 25 yards with these sights. When you're done blasting, tearing down the Super Blackhawk for cleaning is a snap, and the parts that need cleaning most are easily taken care of. In thousands of rounds ranging from super light target loads to heavy loads, slugs that punish steel plates with authority, I can't think of my Blackhawk ever failing to perform. And it's consistently one of the most fun guns to shoot I own. Normally, I categorize firearms by function and recommend them to specific audience. No gun is really great for everything for everyone, but assuming you have a pulse and the money, I recommend the Super Blackhawk to anybody even a little interested in single action revolvers. It's just such a well-built gun, I cannot imagine any owner lacking pure joy over this purchase. I sometimes get lost in either the utility or competitive aspects of shooting, but the Super Blackhawk always takes me back to why I love shooting in the first place. It's good, clean fun. However, if there's one group of people I think could use this revolver over others, it's hand loaders. This weapon is a hand loader's dream. The 357 Magnum is my favorite cartridge, but the 44 Magnum will provide a great platform to learn on as well, and also accommodates a huge range of recipes to make the type of round you like best. It also provides a huge financial incentive to start hand loading. Factory 44s isn't cheap. Others could certainly use the gun for handgun hunting or wilderness protection. I guess what I'm saying is, don't be like me and try to convince yourself every gun needs to fill something specific role or do a special task. Some guns can just be for fun, and this one is about as fun as it gets. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's the Ruger Super Blackhawk 44 Magnum at ANC Firearms, located in Hinehammer. Now, Arch Koontz, we got a call coming in? Well, check it out, see what it is. Well, if it's pertaining to what we're talking about, we'll get them on. But at Heidenhammer, in between Rogers and Temple there, ANC Firearms, owned by Arch Kuntz. He's got it on his shelf, and his helpful staff of Mike, Dennis, Clint, they've got all sorts of things that they can help you. Guns, ammo, shooting supplies, reloading equipment. Everything you basically need there at a one-stop shop. And if they don't have it, they can get it for you. And the number there, again, is 254-983-4417. But really, go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page and take a look at the picture. There's probably, I think, two pictures up there. There's one of Arch actually holding the handgun. Gives you a good idea what it looks like. And this particular one is in a stainless steel model. Brushed stainless, it looks like. And the other one will show the pertinent information concerning the price and all that. Now, if it sells, he can always get you another one. So just give him a call. Again, the number before we take a break here is going to be 254-983-4417. Ask for Mike, Dennis, or Clint. Arch might even pick up the phone, tell him you heard it on the show here and that you want to reserve yours or go into town later and buy it. Of course, only leave after the show. Or if you don't leave before the show, turn it on your radio. Make sure you hear every bit of information. So we're going to see you on the other side. And when we come back at the number here to the studio, we're going to have a special guest. We're going to be talking food. So if you want to call up about that or anything else we've discussed, the number here at the studio is 254-697-6633. You can give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com or go directly to the website at aaronsgunshop.com and check out all the different pages that we've got. And don't forget, we've got the Ladies Only Seminar on the 26th. We got the Round Robin competition coming up on the 11th, which is what, next Saturday, right? And we also have a lot of other things going on. Just go out and check out the website, and you'll see all sorts of good stuff. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back on the other side, we're going to have a fantastic guest, Janae Goodman, talking about food. I'm getting hungry already.
The owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Butros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple has your must equipment, gun accessories, gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4000.
4965.
Back, everybody, to Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's August 5th, 2017, and we've been having a wild show, and it's going to continue on. And to my left is a special guest. I was very lucky and blessed to...
Extra special guest.
I was very lucky and blessed to have her be able to fill in. We were wanting to get her on the show for quite a while, but she's in Houston all the time, and she happened to be here today just when we had a cancellation of our other interview due to medical reasons. So I hope that person gets better, and we'll get them on at a later date. But today, I have Janae Goodman. She teaches culinary arts and gardening along who? Kelly?
That's Miss Kelly Carbias. She's my mentor and coworker.
Very good. Well, I'll tell you what, why don't you read this here, because I can't see it. I don't have my glasses on.
All right. Well, I am in Houston, Texas at Hogg Middle School, as well as Gregory Lincoln Education Center. I have recently graduated from the Culinary Institute of America, so I'm looking at furthering my education as well as teaching students currently for culinary and urban gardening.
I've had nothing but rave reviews of you from somebody very special who happens to be, like, 3 feet away from me.
Yes.
Who might that be?
I'm legitimately your biggest fan.
Yeah.
All right, Janae. Well, we got you on here for a very important reason. This show really used to be in a prepping, and it's going all over the place. And one of the things and aspects of prepping was, look, I think all of us in our lives, sometime or another, unless you've got the silver spoon in hand, have had to struggle with money and food. I know there was a point in time in my life when I had to slice grapes to let them go, to make them last longer. I almost like questioned myself, why did I buy the grapes in the first place? But if I'm going to buy them, I'm going to slice them up and suck on them until I get all the juice out. Then I'll swallow. Then I get cheese and slice it so thin it's almost like copy paper. You can see through it just to get the taste of it. All right. So everybody's been there. But we've had discussions. I've had discussions with Trey and you about food and how we can manage our money and still eat well. And you've got some great ideas. You gave me a list of things here. We're going to go all over the place, and we've got maybe 20 minutes to talk about it. So let's talk about this. Why don't you give me an overview of what I just said and where you want to go with this, and then I'll start asking questions.
All right. So basically, I have a good handful of tips and tricks for you to save money in the grocery store as well as in your household. So, in a nutshell.
And you're edumacated, not like me. I'm just an idiot.
Yes,
so
quite edumacated.
We're going to be... We're not just talking, oh, this, that, or the other, although that comes into play, your personal experiences. You've studied this. You know what you're doing.
Yes.
So I guess let me ask a question here. You're talking about rewards coupons at the grocery stores. How can that affect somebody? Oh, wait, first of all, before we do that, I also mentioned this. I said, let's talk about two categories of people. You've got the one category of people who are, they can get some stuff. They got a little extra funds available to maybe get more important things when it comes to food. And then the other category is, man, they're just making it day by day on how to eat. And they really need to stretch their money out and their food out. So let's, I guess, on both topics, say what's a good thing for one category and may not be good for another, so on and so forth. But the first question is rewards, coupons at the grocery store.
All right. Well, all of these tips are going to kind of dip out of both classes there. As far as rewards and coupons at the grocery store, oftentimes they're free and you can find them in your sale papers. Just check for different sales going on around the store. You can check online. You can check your daily newspaper, just about anywhere, really. I mean, there's no shame in saving a few bucks by using coupons.
I've heard people who use coupons, they almost end up getting paid by the store.
Oh, yeah.
Explain how that works.
I have never done any extreme couponing, but I've seen it done where I've seen people leave in a store with 20 items and they walk away paying absolutely nothing.
It's incredible. I know.
Right. So do your research. I mean, it pays off in the long run for sure.
Now, I want to say something too. People who are in these categories, money's real tight, but it's come in the day and age where a cell phone's almost a mandatory item just because of safety and all this kind of stuff and a lot of things we've been discussing. So what about online coupons? Because I know a lot of times I'll go into like a Staples or maybe a Hobby Lobby and I just whip up the coupon and there it is.
Exactly. So a lot of those you do have to be careful with. Sometimes they do recommend that you print the coupon just in case they don't take them when you get to the store. But a lot of times, most stores actually have rewards programs on their own that you can download on your smartphone. For instance, HEB has all of their coupons online. Kroger has a rewards program. As he mentioned, Michael's has a rewards program. So a lot of those coupons are actually sent right to your inbox or right to your smartphone.
Okay, very good. Ladies and gentlemen, if you got a good story out there about a coupon, you know, dealing a coupon, no, I've seen it happen. It's incredible. If you can say, well, I went to this store because they're having a special and I turned this back in and I got double this and I used that and I ended up walking out and people were patting me on the back because I like broke the bank over there. Give us a call, 254-697-6633. Okay, let's talk about buying in bulk. It's cheaper in the long run and freezing anything you can if you're not going to eat it in 3 days. Let's talk about that.
Yes, so buying in bulk definitely saves you a lot more money because of the fact that you're buying more, basically, with less money. So a lot of times, those larger packages that you look at, they're not prepackaged, so you will have to package them yourself. However, you're saving so much more per pound than you would if they had packaged it themselves. A lot of times, some of those extra dollars just come from the fact that someone else is doing the work for you.
Is it true in every case you buy in bulk where you wait? I've seen it where sometimes it doesn't happen. Is that a common occurrence or is it just every now and then that happens where you think you're buying in bulk and saving money, but in reality it's not?
I would honestly say that it depends from case to case. Definitely look at the product that you're buying. A lot of the times, just look at the size and that'll tell you if it's a good deal or not. My mom and I actually go to the store and we'll look at the small tag next to the items to see how much it is per ounce for the item to see if we're actually saving money or wasting money.
Ah, you gotta look at that stuff too. Like the tags that are there on the product is giving away all the secrets. Okay.
So it's right next to the price of the item.
I buy guns, I buy bullets. I don't buy food. So I'm learning as we go. Talk about the freezing aspect of it.
Freezing.
And talk about freezing and maybe dehydration and what's the other one? Dry freezing?
Yes. So basically you are preserving your own foods. So if you don't care to buy pickles all the time, you can always preserve your own. That saves you a lot of money in the long run. For instance, instead of buying a $2 jar of pickles, you can get a cucumber for 30 cents and, you know, vinegar and pickling liquid and call it a day. And you can use that pickling liquid multiple times.
Yeah, that's cheap, too. Vinegar's real cheap.
Exactly. And pickles are cucumbers aren't the only things that you can pickle. I mean, you can pickle all kinds of different produce.
Well, let's go back to our categories again. The bulk purchasing, I wouldn't expect somebody on a day-to-day aspect being able to do that, right?
Right. So if you can't buy in bulk, I mean, there's no shame in that. For instance, you can always buy frozen products, or if you're really on a tight budget, canned products. Personally, I prefer frozen over canned, but, I mean, when you're in a pinch, you're in a pinch.
That's right. Got to eat. You're talking about freezing and prepping food for the week. You want to pack your lunch for the week so you aren't tempted to go out for lunch.
Yes.
Let's talk about that in depth.
I am just as guilty of this, but before you go to the store, just plan what you're going to eat for that week. Look for products that you can use in multiple dishes. For instance, you can use a chicken and use that for your entire lunch for the week. You can make chicken and dumplings. You can make fajitas. You can make different types of soup. I mean, the possibilities are pretty much endless. It just requires that you put in that prep work. Not to mention that these meals are freezable after you make them. So they're easy to just pop in the microwave and go.
I want to throw a question at you. I didn't tell it to you before, and you don't have to answer it now. I want you to think about it. I work another job, and I'm constantly on the road. And the last thing I want to deal with is a Tupperware full of soup, macaroni, bring silverware, and all this kind of stuff. If you know this off the top of your head, go ahead and say it. If not, we'll come to it later.
Okay.
But what is good food on the run? I'll give you one example of what I'm trying to get across. A banana is self-packaged.
Right.
Once I'm done, it's gone. But I don't have to worry about, like I just said, Tupperware, napkins, forks, salt, pepper, the whole. It's just a contained package. It has its flavor. I'm done. Okay, you got anything like that, or you want
to
wait?
That's one I'm going to have to come back on.
Okay, we'll come back
on. I'll come up with something.
Ladies and gentlemen, give us a call. If you got some wonder food out there that I can drive around with, let me know. 254-697-6633. Staples, keeping staples on hand, like rice, beans, flour, potatoes, milk, and oil. Let's talk about what they are and they do for you compared to canned and maybe dried types of stuff.
Well, staples are typically dried. As you mentioned, rice, beans, flour, oil, milk. Those are the ones that you typically want to keep on hand. These are the items that you're going to come back to again and again. As I mentioned earlier, we had chicken and dumplings. Let's say that for lunch. That meal is completely made of staples, vegetables, and chicken. I mean, you have your oil and your flour for your roux, and you just mix that with milk to make your sauce, along with that chicken broth that you had from earlier week's meal, and suddenly you have everything made from staples. So they come in handy, definitely.
Are the staples like chicken? Is it chicken an expensive food to get?
Absolutely not. But here's the thing. If you are the kind of person who goes for pre-prepped items, it might cost you a little bit more versus fabricating that meat yourself.
Clarify, break that down what you mean, because I'm picturing I got chicken legs all in a package. Is that what you mean?
So fabrication is basically when you have a product that you are breaking down. So for instance, a whole chicken versus buying chicken breasts and chicken thighs, so on and so forth. So you're pretty much making those cuts yourself. So that's going to save you plenty of money. The only thing is that you're paying for the convenience of the fact that it's already done for you.
I'm going to throw this out here. Answer it if you can. So if I got a whole chicken and I bought that as comparing to two packaged chicken halves, and I added the two together, I'm going to come out with spending more money on two chicken halves packaged.
Absolutely.
Okay, there you go. I mean, it's obvious, but you know, if you don't say it, you may screw it up, right?
Yeah.
What about milk? If somebody's on a budget, they may not like it as much, but will you get more milk out of powdered milk than buying it?
Actually don't use powdered milk. I've never used the product. I prefer just having liquid milk on hand.
I would assume that. Okay.
One.
Well, I got her. Okay. Let's see here. Use what you have. Research alternative products in a pinch. Check your fridge before you shop.
Yes. So
wait, let me give you an example of what most guys do. They open up the door and they stand there and they look and they wait for the food to jump out in front of them. So
you are going to have to actively look in your fridge to make sure that you have items before you go to the store.
But I don't want to move the milk container. It should move itself.
It will save you money, I guarantee it. I've done this plenty of times where, you know, I just assume I have butter at home and I go to the grocery store and it turns out I didn't have butter because it was, you know, I'm thinking, oh, it's behind the milk. Check.
Okay.
With that being said, with that research, look at alternatives. So, for instance, instead of going out and buying ground chuck or ground meat, ground beef, look into alternatives such as turkey burgers. Turkey is substantially cheaper than, you know, ground beef or venison or whatever you may want to make your burgers out of. Really funny story. When I say research alternatives, I really mean it. I mean, Pinterest is like my go-to all the time. Really funny, and I swear my family loved these. I was making chocolate chip cookies and realized that I didn't have any eggs. And of course, I was a little short on money, so I couldn't be bothered to go to the store to get eggs. My culinary research kind of kicked in there and told me to use mayonnaise.
Really?
Really. Because when you think about it, all mayonnaise really is eggs and oil.
Wow, look at you.
Right. So do your research.
That's like me when I want to make soup. I get a bottle of ketchup and add some water to it. You know?
Hey, whatever.
I've done it, buddy.
Daughter,
I've done
right?
it. I've done it. And for dessert, I had sliced grapes. Okay.
Also, with that being said, before you make those trips to the store, not only do you want to search your pantry and your refrigerator, make sure not to go to the store hungry. A lot of the times we go to the store because we're hungry, and it usually leads into us just buying things that we necessarily don't need or that we're just kind of craving in the moment. I mean, I've done it several times where I've spent hundreds of dollars and I can't even tell you what I bought.
So if you don't, what we should do is say, if you don't search your pantry, you should search hers, right?
More or less.
That was bad. Okay, let's keep moving.
I mean, even if you're going to the store because there's no food in the house, I mean, it's no big deal to stop for a bite to eat, you know, on your way to the store so that you're not craving everything when you get there.
Okay, this one was pretty wild here. Not wild, but very good. Buying seasonally, saving on seasonal things. Would that be like farmer produce stands on the side of the road, things like that?
No. A lot of stores actually do sell seasonal produce. Currently, you'd be looking at things like corn, squash, peaches, melons, berries. So things that are currently in summer, late summer. We're getting ready to roll into August here, so you'll still be looking for things such as squash and pumpkins. So just, once again, that has a lot to do with research and just knowing what to buy seasonally. A lot of times, grocery stores will actually have those items for sale, if not cheaper, because they're passing those savings on to you. On top of that, most times whenever you're buying seasonal produce, it's typically sourced locally because of the fact that it's seasonal.
So what kind of how big are the savings on doing seasonal items?
It really does depend on the item. However, for instance, with berries, they're currently about $2 for, I'd say, maybe a pint.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big saving versus the $5 that I would typically spend on those same berries in the middle of winter or in spring.
Sure. Let's talk about don't be afraid to go generic.
Yes.
A lot of the same ingredients and companies make these items, right?
Yes. So with that, looking at a generic brand versus a, you know, high dollar brand or name brand, as they're called, turning those items over, you'll often see that they're usually made with the same ingredients. And I'll let you in on a little secret here. It's a lot of competition that deals with the same companies that are making those products.
Well, you know, you gotta talk to a person like this to know all this, unless you're smarter than I, which is not difficult to do. So this is great. I'm so glad you're on here. What about plan what you're going to eat before going to the store? Choose products you can use in multiple dishes.
Absolutely. With that being said, usually before you go to the store, just make a list of what you're going to eat. Notice I didn't say what you're going to buy. Because a lot of times we tend to buy things just because of the fact that we realize that they're missing in our kitchen, but they tend to spoil or go bad, and we end up wasting our money. I've done it plenty of times where I say, oh, well, I need chicken breast, so I'll go out and buy the chicken breast and not use it, and it'll sit in my refrigerator and spoil because of the fact that I didn't plan what meal I was going to do with that product. My rule of thumb is about 3 days for a product. If you don't plan on, you know, using it or freezing it within 3 days, don't get it.
Okay. When you said spoil, is there any particular shade of green you should not eat?
Oh, my God. Definitely depends on the product. I mean, if we're talking cheese, cheese molds. I mean, I've done it where, you know, you just take the moldy part of the cheese off, but that mm-hmm. definitely doesn't go for all products.
Okay. I figured I'd ask you, the expert. How about eating less meat and replacing it with proteins, eggs, beans, all that? Tell
yes.
us about that.
So I know America's heart kind of hurt when they heard that one, eat less meat.
Yeah.
But we honestly eat a lot of meat in this country, especially red meat. So once on that, I mean, you can even go fish if that's a little cheaper for you.
Yeah, but you know, Jeanette, you know what I noticed? When I was growing up, my family wasn't that well-to-do. Yeah, they had to stretch things out.
Right.
They would get a leg of lamb, for example, and cut it, I mean, down to the bone, use the bone marrow, but they'd have a bed of rice with little sprinkles of meat on it.
Right.
Just enough to get the flavor.
Exactly, and utilize the entire product that you have. I mean, like Matt just said, use the bones, make your own stock, use that meat, stretch it over several meals if you can. Meatless dishes, I mean, my mentor, Miss Kelly Carvias, she loves eggplant lasagna. We actually have that on our school website. I'll tell you about that in a second. But you can also load up on veggies to replace that meat. Mushrooms are a great meat replacement because of the fact that they're so savory. I actually just learned about jackfruit. Jackfruit is a savory yet just slightly sweet product item that you can use in place of meat, but it's very hearty.
What is it called?
Jackfruit.
Jackfruit.
Yes.
What is that? Where does it come from?
It's a tropical fruit. I know that much. However, I haven't gotten enough research in to know, you know, 100% about the product.
So jackfruit, it's literally a fruit?
Yes. It is considered a fruit, yes.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay, this one's interesting. make meals you can eat twice. Is that because I cooked it and it comes up and you got to just do it again? Or what are you talking about?
No, not at all. Repurpose your leftovers. I know people are going to get sick of eating the same thing for more than one day, or more than, you know, the two, maybe 3, 4, or 5 days. We've been at Thanksgiving, we know. But just take those items and look for other things to do with it. I mean, for instance, with turkey, I'll touch on that since, you know, we're talking about Thanksgiving. With my turkey, I'll break that down. We can make roasted sandwiches. You can go back to making casseroles, all sorts of different items with that one item.
Now, you can't always get everything out the bone. So what do you do? Use that for soups and stuff?
Yeah, I would use it for soups, definitely. excuse me. With your chicken, for instance, if you made a roasted chicken that day, use those drumsticks and wings that you roasted. Pair them up with some chicken and veggies, maybe. You can do different things with your chicken thigh, for instance. You can probably cut those up into, what, tacos, if you did something earlier with them in the week. So just kind of mix it up so your family doesn't get too tired of you.
Sounds like a great idea. How about producing food yourself?
Producing food yourself is what I live for. You want to stay away from luxury items. Earlier I had mentioned, you know, fabricating your own meats, but it's not only based on that. It can also be those pre-cut vegetables that you see in the grocery store. I mean, we have tutorials. You can always go to YouTube if you're just in doubt of how to cut an onion.
Gosh, that's a saving grace, YouTube. It's amazing what I learned off that thing.
I mean, I've definitely gone to YouTube if I'm second guessing myself or just need a refresher on something. There's no shame in it.
All right, we talked about this thing, I believe, staying away from luxury items, any prep store items, chopped onions, fabricated meats. We've already talked about that. So what about don't buy things on a whim? A purchase, we talked about that too, didn't we?
Yes.
Okay. So did you come up with any ideas as to what I can use to drive with?
Absolutely not.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, this is perfect timing because this gives me a little bit of time left before the end of the show. But I'll tell you, you just covered a whole bunch of stuff, which is great information. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have this up as a YouTube video. It'll be on my Facebook page as well, probably, I'm guessing, by Tuesday. And you can always go back there and check it out and listen to Janae explaining these things. And you can expand upon it from there and get a topic that she's discussed and maybe research it on YouTube and expand upon it if you're not familiar with it. There's a lot of people out there who are pretty savvy when it comes to cooking, doing old school stuff. And there's a lot of people who are just learning and may be able to utilize this on a limited income. So, Janae, I want to tell you thank you very much for coming on short notice. Short notice. Literally short notice. And she whipped all this information out right in a way as I was speaking before she got on. She did a fantastic job.
Thank you.
So, Janae, I want to thank you very much. Anything, any plug out there you want to push?
Absolutely. You can visit us at thecultivatedclassroom.com. If you have any questions for me, feel free to send me an email, noodlesv2@yahoo.com. I'm always open. I love answering and helping those people out there who have questions.
So. Give that address one more time.
NoodlesV2@yahoo.com.
NoodlesV2?
Yes.
Very good. Okay. Thanks for coming on, and I'll be seeing you around. Trey, let's take a one-minute break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company. For friendly service and quality work, stop it at 408 West Bank. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Motors. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bank.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunShop.com. Everybody to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Again, it's August 5th, 2017. We've got a couple minutes left in the program. I wanted to bring Mark Borer back on to reiterate what he had mentioned earlier about the Memorial Ruck and service thing that they've got going on the 19th. So, Mark, why don't you go ahead and explain it again? Get close to the mic.
All right. That's going to be on the 19th of August here in Cameron at the City Park. It's going to be the 2nd Lieutenant Andrews and Master Sergeant Price Memorial Rucksack March and Memorial Service. The Rucksack March starts at 8 o'clock. You do not need to bring a rucksack, but just dress patriotic in memory of all those that have fallen in your life and for Darren and Master Sergeant Price. And then also at 1 o'clock is the Memorial Service. And we've got a special guest, Earl Granville. He's the ambassador for Oscar Mike Apparel. And also, if you have any questions, feel free to call Bobby Weissman at 254-482-3112. And also Sandra Andrews at 254-697-1989. And Sandra will be taking orders for scholarship promoting T-shirts until August the 10th. In other words, you get one of these T-shirts for $20, you wear it proudly on the march, and that money is going to be going for school scholarships here in the local area.
That's great. Ladies and gentlemen, if you can make it, if your schedule permits, go ahead and participate. I think you really enjoy it, and it just do everybody good. And Trey, how much time I got, buddy? 20 seconds. All right. With 20 seconds, I'm going to say this. I enjoy what I do. This, and it only happens because of my sponsors. You need to support our sponsors so that they can support me. It's the circle of life. And until next week, keep your powder dry, and God bless.
CBS News. I'm Bill Rakoff. Search and rescue operations underway now for three U.S. Marines who have gone missing after their Osprey aircraft crashed into the sea off the east coast of Australia while trying to land. This is CBS News military analyst Mike Lyons.
Well, these kinds of incidents show that the Navy in particular is not routine, and you could have a kind of accident that could cause these kinds of casualties because of the heavy equipment, because of the sea, and because of the training environment that they're involved with.
The MV-22 Osprey involved in the mishap had launched from the USS Bonhomme Richard and had crashed into the water ashore.